I want to get right into the teaching this morning. We find in the Word of God the statement, nothing new under the sun. I spent most of my study time this week preparing a message. And maybe about an hour ago, there was that in my spirit which caused me to go and give attention to a passage in Scripture that seemingly has nothing to do, although God's words all connected, nothing to do with what I was preparing for this week. I want to get right into the message that I believe God would have us, and I say us, here today. Open your Bibles to the 17th chapter of the book of Exodus. This wonderful Bible, which we call God's Word, gives us not only insight or revelation of God Himself, but insight into our own selves, insight into Jesus Christ. And I want to look at this chapter. I believe it's important. And therefore, let us begin by reading. Now, God had just provided manna from heaven to feed the children of Israel on their journey through the wilderness. The number of the people was in the millions. I have a note in my Bible. It says a train having 30 cars, each car with 15 tons each day, 4,500 tons it was estimated it took to feed the number of the children of Israel on their journey in the wilderness. God provided it. And the 17th chapter opens and says, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeyings, according to the commandment of the Lord, that means God's will, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Rephidim means a place of rest. And there was no water. It didn't look like its name. Wherefore, or because of this, the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" Part of my study this past week was back in that fifth chapter of Romans, which follows the fourth. I guess it's all going to come together. Thank you, Father. I guess it's, you know, Paul using analogies to describe the gospel and the righteousness by faith, and telling us, or saying that we God, wherein it's speaking of Abraham, it says, "And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform." And speaking of Abraham and him being fully persuaded, and that's a faith word, "therefore it was imputed." The word is logisomai, that is spoken to God, to him for righteousness. Now, it wasn't written for his sake alone that it was spoken of God to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be spoken of, if we faith on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our righteousification. And therefore, being righteousified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and boast in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing this word in the Greek is iadotes. It comes from the word iado. It means to know or remember. Properly, it is to see with physical eyes as it naturally bridges to the metaphorical sense, perceiving, mentally perceiving. This is akin to the expression, "I see what you mean. I see what you're saying." Aido, seeing that becomes knowing, then is a gateway to grasp spiritual truth, reality from a physical plane. I see what you mean. God had promised the Israelites way back in Genesis to Abraham and his descendants a promised land. He delivered him inarguably by his own hand out of Egypt. We read those stories in Exodus. In the 17th chapter, it says, that they journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeyings according to the commandment of the Lord, God's will. He sent them to Rephidim, a place of rest, and there was no water. Trouble came. And the people thirsted there for water. The people murmured against Moses and said, you know, you ever find yourself in circumstance questioning God or questioning God's men or women? This one was pretty extreme. They perceived that God, through Moses, was leading them out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. And behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock. Should circle that word, or those words, the rock, in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, that is, chiding, that is, proving, or chiding or strife, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? There's a lot to learn in this chapter. That sixth verse, "Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock and Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink." God did not do this because of chiding. God intended to do this all the time. It wasn't their strife or chiding or proving or attempting to prove of God. God gives us here in this one verse a picture of Jesus Christ, who was smitten for our sake, that it might come forth that which we needed. I'm not going this morning into all the teaching on the smiting of this rock. But understand, those of you whom God has given ears to hear, God is putting Christ on display in this passage. God, according to his will, was leading the people on their journey through the wilderness, and trouble came. And I have every confidence that it is but a small window into the ways of God with his children, you and me, as we're on this journey to which we were called, on our way to heaven. Trouble comes. And immediately upon this provision of God, a type of Christ, we encounter this 10th verse. The people are now watered and refreshed, and Rephidim looks like Rephidim, a place of rest. And immediately it says, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim." And Moses said unto Joshua, "Choose ye out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand." And so Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they, Aaron and Hur, took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up the hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Dr. Scott gave an alternative translation that reads, because the hand of Amalek is against the throne of God, they're never going to have peace. Not peace with God, because they're against the throne of God. Now, I believe this story is pretty important. I think God thinks this story is pretty important because he instructs Moses to write it for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of his successor, and the ears of his successor, and so on and so on and so on. Write it in a book. Write it down. You know, this is the first time Moses is commanded to write anything down. A good rule of principle of a good principle rule of interpretation for God's in God's revelation is his firsts are pretty important. And it says, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. And when he let them down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him. and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. God chooses leaders, but he chooses them not alone. He chooses also those who are being led. And a response from those who are being led is to see what's going on. And when Moses' hands were strong and held up, Israel prevailed. So, and when they weren't, the enemy prevailed. And because they perceived this, they went and held up the hands of Moses. They understood the importance of their leader and having his hands raised. These are tough times, folks. Last few weeks, we have been teaching about the manifestation of the proof of the Spirit of God in you and giving. This is talking about the proof of the perception of the importance of the leader of a congregation, that his hand be held up. Metaphorically, that the leader be strengthened, and that through the prayer of the followers, the ones whom God has given eyes to perceive and to know by perception. Your prayers are a provision of strength to me. So often in the Word, we find God being the provision of strength for all his people. But in this case, in his kindness, in his loving kindness, God included those who were being led by the leader as well, I want to say, as necessary for victory in the battle. No, I will say, God included the congregation as part of that which was necessary, which is necessary for victory, that the arms of the leader be raised. And it says, and Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. That is, the Lord is my banner. But we know that that which represents part of the that which represents the congregation also played a part, and therefore the translation could just as easily say Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is our banner. We're in this together, folks. As this voice attempts through God's word, through God's revelation, to cause knowledge of God to come through provision, wherein you see what God means. You see what he's saying. Remember me in your prayers. Remember me to our Father, that my hands may be stayed steady. This passage says, until the going down of the sun. I think that we can expand it and say, until the battle is over, that's pretty much where I've been led today, except to say who is this Amalek? is this people of whom it is said, the Lord has sworn that he will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Who is this Amalek? As we continue next time, we will show through God's word who these people are. And by it, shall come to know who the perpetual enemy of Israel and God is, and by it we will begin to know who Israel is, and that by their enemy. I hope you'll join us next time. Until then, pray not only for yourselves, but for me, that my hands, my arms might be stayed as Aaron and hers of this congregation. And that's the God School for today.